We are in our last week here in the book of James, at least with our sermon series. I encourage you to keep reading it all the time in every other book in the Bible. Let's pray as we come to our passage today. Father, I thank you for the book of James. I thank you that you inspired this man who lived 2,000 years ago to write down your word to speak to us today. I pray that you would be honored in this time that we have. I pray that you would be glorified in everything that I say and that all of our hearts and minds would be open. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So before we get to our final passage, the last couple of verses of James chapter 5, I'd like to do a little bit of a summary of where we've been in the book of James. The book of James is about growing up and being like Jesus. Some people think the book of James is a rule book in which we say, do this or don't do that. But that's really not what it is. What James is a book telling us, this is what it looks like when you follow Jesus, when you trust Jesus. It's not a morality book. And Christianity is not about morality. Be moral, be better people. That shouldn't be the message of our churches. Just telling you to get better. There's a deeper meaning to it. But sometimes that's what we fall into. And I was thinking about this in relation to coaching, of course. Had to bring that in. But as you know, I coach youth sports. And I try to learn and I try to get better as a coach all the time. And I look at other coaches and I try to imitate what good coaches do and I try to not imitate what other coaches do. And I've noticed sometimes you'll see a coach who maybe a kid will make a bad throw. And he'll yell, good throws! Okay, no kidding. Or a kid strikes out, and a coach will say, hit the ball! Okay, great, good advice. Like the kid wasn't trying to do that to begin with. Okay, well, what do you do as a coach? You try to help that kid learn how to do that, right? So there are certain things that you teach them. You know, you step toward the person you're throwing to, you get your elbow up, you teach them certain things so that they can learn how to do that. Now, the Christian faith goes even deeper than that. It's not just this is how you do it. It actually isn't how you do it. It's how Jesus does it in you. When you put your faith in Jesus Christ, he changes you from the inside. So me telling you, stop sinning, is about as good as me saying, hit the ball, right? It's not going to really do anything. Right? Jesus changes us from the inside out. And that's really what the book of James is about. And it's about maturing and growing up in Christ. And I want to go back to the beginning of the book of James and just start with this. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. The goal is to become mature and complete, in other words, like Jesus. Right? That is where we are headed. And it can't be done with me yelling at you, telling you what to do, and you just trying as hard as you can to be obedient. This is an inner work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And you may remember one of the weeks, one of the sermons, I showed you the picture of the tree. That's a plum tree. And you remember the story I told you about last year in our house? We moved in. We had this tree out front. We had no idea what it was. We were there from April until, say, September. And then we realized it was a plum tree. Why? We saw the fruit. Okay, it was a plum tree all along, right? It just hadn't told us that yet, all right? And we finally realized, oh, here are the plums, there's the plum tree. That's a beautiful plum tree in bloom. That's what ours looked like a couple weeks ago when the buds came out and everything. And that tree is alive. That tree has life in it. And that tree is going to produce good fruit. If you have Jesus in your life, you will produce good fruit. That's what it will look like. You will look like Jesus. If you don't, you look like that tree. Okay? Now, you could dress that tree up, right? You could tell that tree, you know, grow fruit, right? It's really not going to help. You could do the Charlie Brown Christmas tree thing and just do all this stuff, and all of a sudden it looks like a beautiful Christmas tree. That's not what happens. You could staple leaves to that thing and hang oranges to it. It's not an alive tree. It's a dead tree. Okay, it's just that would just be a band-aid. That would be an outer thing. Morality is outward, okay? Jesus changing your life and changing who you are and causing you to act more like him, that's an inward thing. And you will lead a more moral life, I believe. But that's not the focus. The focus is what's going on inside. And as we think about the book of James, what do we look like when we follow Jesus? Well, we look like Jesus. And here are some of the themes we've looked at in the book of James. Not all of them. Here are some of them. This is what you look like when you trust Jesus. You will be a patient person. You will be a persevering person. You'll persevere through difficulty. You won't give up on your faith. You will be faithful. You will be fair. Remember that when we talked about favoritism? If a rich person comes into the church, you don't show favoritism to that person. You don't show favoritism to anyone. We're all brothers and sisters. You shouldn't like avoid people in the church family and want to spend time with other people. We are one family, okay? We should be together. We should speak good words. Remember that section about taming the tongue and what a dangerous evil the tongue is and how we can hurt people with our tongue? We can hurt people with our tongue, or we can build and encourage people. We can tell lies or we can tell the truth. And in chapter 2, it says, faith without works is dead. So if you have real faith, it will be demonstrated in real actions, actions of love. And we will be godly in the sense that we won't chase after the things of the world and be greedy about the things in the world. We will chase after the things of God, and we'll be greedy about God. That may sound weird, right? In other words, just want so much of God and have him be your focus. There's a famous pastor named John Piper who talks about being a Christian hedonist, just wanting so much joy in Christ that he is all you shoot for. He is who you aim for. We're godly and not worldly. And finally, we're prayerful, and that's what chapter 5, the last whole section, is about. It's prayer. We bring our prayer requests to God. We go to the elders in the church with prayer. We realize that prayer is powerful because God is powerful. And then it mentions Elijah. Elijah prayed, and it stopped raining for 3 years. He prayed again, and it rained. That's power, not Elijah's power, but God's power. So that is a brief summary of the book of James. And now we come to our last section. And this is James chapter 5, and reading verses 19 and 20. It's page 1199 in the Blue Bibles. James chapter 5 says this: "My brothers, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring him back, remember this: whoever turns a sinner from the error of his way will save him from death and cover over a multitude of sins." So as we think about that, as we think about what that means, what are we talking about turning a sinner from their own ways, from their way? Are we talking about telling them, stop sinning, hit the ball? I have a friend in college who was, he tried being a middle school baseball coach while we were in college, and we went to one of his games, and he's kind of an emotional guy, and the kids had a bad inning, and they're out in the field, and they threw the ball around, bad throws, and they came off the field, and my friend, looked at the kids and yelled at them, "Get good!" And all our buddies were there. We were just laughing because we talked to him about it afterwards, and he realized that that's not really going to help, right? You know, and if I say that to you in your life, get good! Okay, is that really going to make you good, or does Jesus make you good? But what we see in this passage is we see the corporate nature of the church and of the Christian life. We talked about it in Sunday school today. Is some people think, I can just go on my merry way and be a Christian in my own home, and I'm fine with that. I'll just be me and God. And you know what? You can be a believer in God by yourself. You can trust in Jesus by yourself. But that's not what was intended. We were meant to be together, using all of our gifts together to bring honor to God and to build up the church. So we are supposed to be together. And it says here that if a brother or sister leaves, and what does that mean? Does that mean that someone just goes out and commits a sin? No, it says wander from the truth. Here's what it means. Somebody who wanders from our church, doesn't go to attend another church, wanders away from the faith, God, through James telling us, wants us to go to that person and bring them back. And it's not about just telling them, stop doing this and stop doing that. How do we do that? How do we get them to that place? Before I answer that question, I want to read a couple more of those verses there, though. And it says this: that if we do this, if a person does come back, it will save them from death and cover over a multitude of sins. What does that mean? Does that mean if someone comes back to the church, they will never die? Well, they will physically die. We all know that. We will physically die unless Jesus returns, right? We're going to physically die. Talking about eternal life. We're not just talking about changing someone's behavior. We're talking about having their sins covered. And that is sharing the truth about Jesus Christ so that their sins will be covered. And that word covered there can also be translated hide a multitude of sins. Hide so they can't be seen. Only Jesus' blood hides our sins. And I want you to think about that word hide. It's obvious, it's an obvious word, but what does it mean when something is hidden? It means you can't see it. You know, I was thinking about it this week. And I remember playing hide-and-seek with Bella when she was little. I have to say, I really don't like hide-and-seek. Just not one of my favorite games. But we were out in the woods, and we were playing, and Bella was really young, and she didn't really have the concept of it yet. And I said, okay, I'll count, and you go hide. And I turned around, and she had found a tree about this size, and she was standing there like this. Okay, so she didn't get the principle of being hidden, right? It was pretty funny. But think about that for a second. Hidden means they cannot be seen anymore. When you put your faith in Jesus Christ, your sins are covered. They are hidden in Christ. He has covered them. God does not see them anymore in the sense that they're not held against you. When God sees you, when the Father sees you, He sees the righteousness of Jesus Christ. You know, and think about it like think about it in these terms. If you've ever been invited to like a big party with a guest list, I don't think I've been invited to one of these. Pastors don't get invited to parties because we kind of ruin parties, right? But if you were invited to one of these parties, okay, here's what can happen. There's a person who comes to the party and might come to the door. Am I on the list? Yeah, and these people here are with me. These are my friends. Okay, you can come in. You can all come in. It's almost as if that's the picture of heaven. Jesus is in between us and God. He's the mediator. There's only one mediator. So that when God the Father sees us, He actually sees Jesus in front of us. And it's almost as if Jesus is saying, these people are with me. Because of what Jesus has done, the Father sees the righteousness of Christ in us. We're not perfect, we're not sinless, but we are declared righteous by God. Our sins are covered. Isn't that a great thing to think about? That our sins are covered. We can have relationship with God. We can go to heaven and be with Him forever. That's what it means that we are saved from death. And our sins are covered because we have faith in Christ. So how do we do that with our brothers and sisters? How do we do that with people who wander away? Well, this section is in a section about prayer, right? It's the last couple of verses on a section on prayer. We pray for our brothers and sisters. If someone wanders from the faith, we pray for them. And then we go and we speak truth to them. And we speak the truth in love. And I want to show you one verse from Ephesians. Speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of Him who is the head, that is Christ. We are called, maturity means we are called to speak the truth in love. Out of love, fueled by love, in a loving way. But we are to speak the truth to people. And that's what brings them back. It's not telling them to be moral people. You can tell them, hey, what you're doing is wrong, it's sinful. But let me tell you about Jesus who died for your sins. Let me tell you about Jesus who was nailed to a cross so that your sins could be covered and you could have eternal life. So today I would say to you, and you know, as we're in a group in church every week, you know, there's that saying, there's preaching to the choir, right? A lot of you guys know all this stuff. But I don't know every single person's heart here. I don't know every single person's mind. Today, if you have not done this, if you have not given your life to Jesus, if you have not confessed, I am a sinner and I need you. I believe in you. I believe you lived for me and died for me and rose again. I accept you as Lord and Savior. I believe in you. If you have not done that, today is a day to do that. You can and will be transformed. And even greater than that, you will have relationship with Jesus. You have relationship with God today and forever. put your faith in Christ. Come to Him today. And if you have done that, if you are a Christian, you have been for decades, think about your brothers and sisters. Think about people in your life. You know, there's something that's being said in our culture today, and that is if you share your faith, if you tell someone about Jesus, if you quote John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life, no one comes to the Father except through me, ooh, that's intolerant, that's being pushy, that's proselytizing, that's pushing your beliefs on me. Let me ask you a question. If you were the enemy of God and the enemy of the Christian faith, what would you tell people? What lie would you tell? How about this very lie? You shouldn't tell people about Jesus. It's pushy. As Christians, sometimes we buy into that lie, don't we? It's pushy. Not really. Not at all, actually. It's the most loving thing that you can do. Because if you do that, and a person comes to faith, it covers a multitude of sins. Multitude. In Massachusetts Standard Version, wicked high number, right? That's a huge number of sins. That's all the sins you have ever committed, right? That is all your sins. If you tell someone about Jesus, their sins are covered. And then Jesus makes them new. Jesus makes them into that beautiful tree. Jesus changes them. Jesus changes us from the inside. Don't believe the lie that it's pushy and intolerant and hateful. Believe the truth that it is the most loving thing that you can do. It's better than giving a person food. Give them food, though, if they need it, right? But it's even better because they will eat the words of God for all eternity if they put their faith in Jesus Christ. It is the most loving message. And if we are mature, we will share that message. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that you've given us this great message to share. I pray that we would never be ashamed of it. I pray that we would speak the truth in love. I pray that we would have courage and boldness and love and gentleness and truthfulness in all that we say. And I pray that we would grow up to be like Jesus. More and more each day. Make us like you, Lord. We pray this in your mighty name. Amen.